everybody. Let's bang the table. Thank you for downloading the latest edition of the Bang the Table Detroit Lions podcast. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. Lots to get into this week. The Detroit Lions sit at 4-1 after 5 weeks. And boy, do they look like a football team that not only can have a lot of regular season success, but we're now starting to see what we're able to decipher regarding how good can this football team be? What's the ceiling for this football team? The reason why is not only has this football team learned how to win, they've been able to take advantage of other teams' weaknesses the past couple weeks where they've been able to go out there and dominate opponents, from defeating the Falcons to going out there now last week and defeating Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. After a good week on Thursday Night Football, having defeated the Packers, you come back home and the crowd is really anticipating an opportunity to really hammer a football team. And the Detroit Lions did just that. It's not easy to accomplish that feat where you are significantly better than another football team and you go out there and you execute at a high level, both offensively and defensively. The Detroit Lions just swarmed. The Carolina Panthers made life very difficult for Bryce Young. And this football team has a lot more swagger, a lot more confidence. And Dan Campbell has indicated in a couple of different occasions in interviews that this is a mature football team, that this is a football team that's growing, that is able to be very professional and understands that when you're a favorite, you got to handle your business, you got to execute, you can't make mistakes and keep a football team around. When you have the opportunity to bury a team, that's what you do. And for a football team to start to mature and be a team that can be reliable consistently, man, that just gives the fan base, the team, the roster, the coaching staff a lot of confidence. And I think that this is what everybody expected when Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell built this roster full of young, hungry, talented individuals. One individual that you'll hear from later, wide receiver Josh Reynolds, really embodies everything I think that the Detroit Lions are about. This is an individual that, you know, told me when we spoke, you'll get to hear the interview in its totality later on in this podcast episode. He told me that other coaches, not the Lions, basically told him that he was a back burner guy, somebody that was not going to be the target of key receptions or going to be having routes made for him and being the first look on targets. Maybe that had to do with the Rams later on in his tenure or the Titans before he got to the Lions. But I think that a guy like Josh Reynolds, who is very serious, you'll hear it, the appreciation that he has for Dan Campbell coming out publicly and telling him in person that he's reliable, that he's the most trustworthy individual, the most explosive player right now on the Lions offense, and an integral part of the offense. You can hear the excitement and the passion that he has, knowing that, hey, I'm getting targets, I'm getting looks, I'm getting plays called for me, where I'm the guy that Jared Goff looks to first. And you can hear just how much that meant to him, and you can see the competitive nature that he has, and it comes through. You can really sense it. I sensed it when I was talking to him in the locker room, you know, just talking to him about the offense, where things are going, and where, you know, his reaction to the success he had. Even joked around a little bit about, hey, what's the secret to the toe tap? Being that he's been able to, you know, have success and get into the end zone now 3 times this year, really, I think, has an average of 18 yards per reception in 2023. So you'll want to listen to that later on, our interview with Josh Reynolds. This is a football team, like everybody's been saying, that's been really playing at a high level. Really, when you look at it, what's made everybody really excited and really, really making it so that, oh boy, the opportunities can be even more vast is that this football team did it against the Panthers without some key players, without some of your better players performing at a high level. The return of Jameson Williams really didn't amount to much other than a few fundamental plays that he executed in the blocking scheme, which the coaching staff did want to see. But in the end, they're not, in the end, Jameson Williams is brought here to perform at a high level and to put up numbers in the stat sheet and receptions and yards. All that fundamental stuff is good to be able to block and earn respect and stuff like that. But, you know, sooner rather than later, this Lions football team will count on, hopefully, Jameson Williams to be a player that can light up the stat sheet and gain receptions and yards after the catch and touchdowns. And hopefully all of that can start to take place at some point this year. But you look at it and you say, no Amon-Ra St. Brown, no Jahmyr Gibbs. You're like, wow, no Brian Branch. And thankfully, you know, you do have to speak to the fact that the Panthers are retooling. They have a young quarterback, and it's a football team that is in an early stage of a new regime, which oftentimes takes a little bit of time. They came into the game winless, so many people were, you know, coming on the heels of the Bears handling business on Thursday Night Football against the Commanders. You know, you sense that, okay, a team could be desperate that has the talented individuals like Derek Brown and Brian Burns, that they could come in a little bit hungry and look to upset the Lions. But right away, the Lions took advantage of each opportunity that they had when the Panthers made mistakes, scoring 21 points three times off of their turnovers. You recognize, man, the Aiden Hutchinson play was really wild when you see the fact that he's just so instinctual, has four career interceptions, and you recognize what he's able to do in regards to being a game changer, to being a game wrecker. Man, what a play. And Miles Sanders putting the ball on the ground, and Jerry Jacobs coming through, silencing the critics for now, being somebody that has turned around quickly after a bad performance. And that's what you're looking for, is that, look, I always joke around that friends don't let friends play the cornerback position because it's such a nightmare to play. You can't play physical. You can't really even breathe on these receivers. And yet for Jerry Jacobs, after a performance where he got exposed a little bit by the Seahawks, comes back and understood that, hey, wait a minute, I put in the work, I do the job, and I know that I can bounce back and be very productive, and has recorded three interceptions in the past couple of weeks. You recognize, oh boy, this is an individual that's playing now at a level that where you say, okay, you know what? Even though, unfortunately, Emmanuel Mosley went down against the Panthers, you see a player that can, you know, still secure the job in Jerry Jacobs for now. And so you look at this football team in totality. It's young. It's hungry. They're playing at a high level. They understand the moment. They understand the importance. I mean, I've said it before, and I think the importance of their mindset is so key. When Dan Campbell says they're maturing and the roster feels like they're maturing, meaning that, you know, us as media members or fans will say, wow, what does it mean you're 3-1? And you ask the players, what does it sense? Across the board, the message is uniform. It's coming from the coaching staff, and it's trickling down to the roster. Look, we haven't done anything. 4-1's great, but that doesn't give you a title. That doesn't make you division champs. That doesn't give you anything. We got to keep on their necks, is what Aleem McNeil, how he answered my question when I just said, what's this? When I asked him, what is it like to be 3-1? And of course, they're excited, of course, but there comes with it a quiet confidence when you're a good football team. You expect to dominate teams that you know you're better than, and you expect to play at a high level. And that's where this football team is growing, is that there is a confidence. And you'll hear what Josh Reynolds said when he started to talk about how do you start to blow out teams when you don't make a lot of mistakes, when your opponent is the one that is making the plethora of mistakes and you're taking advantage. That makes it so that you have the opportunity to not only win games, but win games handily. So I think that's great. I think that bodes very well for the Detroit Lions moving forward. And I think the excitement level across the board, across the NFL, is palpable. You're starting to see Dan Orlovsky break down the Lions. You're starting to see Daniel Jeremiah and his podcast break down how the Lions compare to the 49ers and Eagles. You're starting to sense, okay, there's a certain class of teams, and Dan Campbell had said it, that, okay, over the next couple of weeks, the teams that are playing well are going to start to distinguish themselves and start to break away from the pack. And the Lions, I think, are going to be one of them. I think if you have a good performance against Tampa Bay, you got a football team that can start off 5-1, and then you go on the road to Baltimore, where if you can, you know, force Lamar Jackson into a couple of mistakes and some extra possessions, your offense, I don't think the Ravens' offense can keep up and really play at the level that is needed to stay with the Detroit Lions. I think that one could also be a blowout. The game against Tampa, I think, will be a grinded out game because it'll be on the road. The Tampa fans are wild, and they're going to be looking to, you know, match wits with the Detroit Lions. And I think Baker Mayfield's playing well. It'll be interesting to see which of their injured players will return. I'm curious to see how that's going to shake out. But Vita Vea is unbelievable. Levante David, the linebackers, and pay attention to the Bucs. They've kind of, outside of week three, they've been able to kind of stop the run, limiting their opponents to less than 80 yards. Outside of the outlier, which was the Eagles game where they went off for, I think, like over 200 yards rushing, I think the Tampa Bay Bucs have been stout defensively. and you recognize, okay, that the coaching staff there is familiar with the Lions, they understand what we do, and they understand what we're trying to accomplish. So it's going to be a knockout, drag-out game. This one's going to be close. This one could be a fourth-quarter game. And you're hoping that the return of, hopefully, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who will play. Unsure yet about Brian Branch. We did get a chance to see him on Wednesday out on the field starting the process of working and testing out that ankle that got injured. So you recognize, oh boy, let's see how many of the Lions injured players do end up returning. And then I think the key injury is going to be to left guard. The key update is going to be to left guard Jonah Jackson. Missed the first practice on Wednesday. We'll got to stay up to date on that and see how that progresses, because that could cause some shuffling on the offensive line. But there is reason to be confident. The fans here in Detroit are starting to kind of discuss and recognize and realize that, wait a minute, when we look at this division, it's not that strong. This NFC North division does not appear to be one in which is going to be too challenging, especially after having played the Packers. You kind of know what they're going to bring. The next game will be at Thanksgiving, where your fan base is just going to go crazy. Everybody's kind of now got to look to the Bears a little bit. Did they unlock something against the Commanders? I don't think that, you know, a performance like that, you know, it kind of does harken back to the Lions when they played and played and played. They had a tie in Dan Campbell's first season, and then they played and played and played, and then I think it was 0-10-1 before they got to the Vikings, and it was a home game and everything like that, and you needed a last-second touchdown from Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown to get the regime off the ground after their tie. So the Bears kind of did the same thing. They were grinding. It was over a year since they had a victory, and they surprised everybody and put a hurting on the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of response the Bears will have moving forward. But right now, as you sit, as you listen to this, you should be confident. This Lions football team is really solid. There's a lot of good strengths that they have in terms of their youth, their key talent at different positions, offensively, defensively. You got the best quarterback, I think, in the division. And some of the luck factor that the Vikings had last year has run out, as Justin Jefferson, who is on my fantasy team. And I guess I could pivot just a quick second here, as everybody does care about my fantasy team. I had the Vegas kicker and Justin Jefferson, who, if they just had normal performances, would have taken my record to 3-2. And what happens? Monday Night Football, tended to avoid it because I figured I was the jinx, and if I would have watched, then I would have been the key reason why the kicker. I was only down 6 points, and what happens? He misses a 50-yarder at the end of the half. That's a minus and does not end up gaining the points that I needed to win. So then you hear the news, too, that Justin Jefferson, after a small, meek performance this last week, he's now on IR with an injury. It's going to miss the next 4 games. And you start to see all those fantasy experts say, ha-ha, those of you that took Justin Jefferson number one, look what you get. And that's what I get, a big fat pie in the face because of the fact that Justin Jefferson's gone. I'm 2-3. And it was a devastating week where I lost by like 4 points. And it hurts. But the luck factor as it relates to the Lions is something that you got to pay attention to, because of the fact that the Vikings last year were a team that just, for whatever reason, got on a streak of being able to compete strong in games and were able to come away with a lot of victories late. Like everybody said, baby, regression to the mean, and it's happened. And that's a football team that I think by the time the Lions end up playing the Vikings at the end of the year, the division might be already wrapped up. When you look at the strength of schedule, be excited. The Lions do not play a plethora of strong playoff teams the second half of the year. I think at the end of the year, you play the Vikings twice and then Dallas, and that really is pretty the toughest 3 games that you're going to have at the end of the year. But that middle stretch, you're going to play the Raiders, who I think you're better than here upcoming. You're going to get a chance to play the Broncos. You're going to play teams that you're clearly better than, and I think that it's going to bode well for the Lions to maybe even wrap up the division sooner rather than later, especially if you get out to success these next couple weeks. I think it's key, Sentinel, having the opportunity to play 2 games against the Bears where you're a team that's clearly better. The Chargers might be rough. That might be a tough game. The Saints game might be challenging. but the opportunities that you're going to have against the Bucks, Ravens, Raiders, I think puts you in a good position. Obviously, I think the ending sequence is really good where starting December 10th, you play the Bears on the road, you come back home to face the Broncos, and then you play the Vikings, Cowboys, and Vikings again to end the season. That's a good stretch right there, especially when you see this opportunity. The good start that the Lions had really puts them in a key position. This division's one in which the Lions could wrap it up quickly. We can talk about it, and you can start to look weekly at how the Detroit Lions shake out against the upper echelon teams in the NFC. What does it mean for the postseason? I know the players will never talk to you about that, or Dan Campbell, though, did kind of open the door to that discussion, which was fabulous. On Monday, he said that after the Lions beat the Panthers, you go back to the facilities and you watch the film and you kind of get everything updated with health and all that stuff. He caught a little bit of the 49ers thumping of the Cowboys. And it's good because obviously the Cowboys are a team that's on the Lions schedule. So I think maybe he had an eye a little bit for the Cowboys. And then looking at, oh, wow, this is what the class of the NFC looks like. And he said he's such, you know, I just think that his honesty came through. He said it gave him great perspective. And you recognize what the 49ers do in their skill positions. They're just really solidly built and they do everything well. They just have great talent across the board at wide receiver, along the offensive and defensive lines. You got a Hall of Famer upcoming, potentially a future Hall of Famer in Christian McCaffrey. You got a great experienced coach in Kyle Shanahan. And you got a defense that's swarming and aggressive led by Nick Bosa. So it does feel like the Lions are built very similar to the 49ers. It just right now, guys, let's be honest. If you ask me right now, how do the Lions stack up against the 49ers? They're in the class. They're in the game. But do they have enough to win it? It's got to be in Detroit. If I give them less than 0% chance to go on the road to San Francisco, where it'll be crazy, where they always tend to be rabid there out there on the road with CNC, the running game, the big dudes that they have on the offensive line. It'll be a good game, but I just find it difficult for the Lions to go out there in an NFC title situation for an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl on the road. That's why you got to get these wins, and I think that's where some underlying motivation lies for the Lions, is that they're talking about it. They have to be like, listen, you stack up those wins, not only can you have one playoff win, one playoff opportunity to play at home, you might get a couple if you're the two seed. You know, you might have that opportunity where you don't have to face the 49ers until the NFC title game. So I think that's where some hunger lies and some inner motivation is that, wait a minute, we don't have to set our sights so small just to get to the postseason. We can actually set ourselves up to have success by winning as many games as possible, getting some home field advantage. And boy, is Ford Field an advantage. The crowd, the noise, everything going on. And then you guys, the other reason for hope, guys, is look what you're doing without Jahmyr Gibbs and Jameson Williams being stars. Look what you're doing without Brian Branch. Imagine 7 weeks from now and everybody's healthy. Everybody comes back and everybody is playing at a high level. Jameson's further along, 2 more months in his development. Maybe now you start to take a couple more deep shots where you actually have him as the first read deep. Oh my goodness, the opportunities, guys. It is time to get excited. The reality is here is that if the Lions end up lucky, and here's the opportunities that we'll start to have as we break down this football team. You're entering into that zone, guys, where one, you're going to get 3 players back and improving with obviously Brian Branch, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Jameson Williams developing. Those are 3 young individuals that can play at a high level. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell get to sit down over the next 2 weeks, and some teams will eventually slide away and have no opportunity to make the postseason. They're going to just end up being sellers. You have the opportunity to be a team that can pick from the litter and make trades. You have some capital. You have some assets that you can trade. And if this football team ends up being 6-1, here's the blessing. If you could end up being 6-1, you can convince easily Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, give up a second round pick next year for an opportunity to get a player that can ball out. Now, I'm not going to be willing to say, hey, I want to trade Jameson Williams. I think that's crazy. I think it's interesting to debate and talk about and write about, but I think that the upside of Jameson in this offense, what it could do for Jared Goff this year, even if it's just one or two deep balls late in the year, will end up being worth it. Long term, the question mark's there because, you know, you're starting to see the development's kind of stagnated a little bit. Can he end up being high-end? That kind of high-end ceiling potential maybe starting to come down a little bit. Can he be reliable? Maybe. Can he end up being Ja'Marr Chase or an individual that's going to be a true number one that scores like a Justin Jefferson? Maybe. We'll see. But the talk right now is just fundamentals and getting his feet in order and getting his feet under him and handling stuff. So patience needed for Jameson Williams. But if he ends up contributing, oh, but you can convince the Detroit Lions front office, Brad Holmes, make a move, make a deal, sign somebody that can help you on defense, add another receiver, find somebody maybe a little bit higher end. One or two players you add to this roster at the deadline can really send the signal home. This is serious. 6-1, potentially having the opportunity then, you know, to come home before the bye week. You know, you come home, you play the Raiders, maybe. Just maybe you throw it out there into the universe. 7-1 before you would be 7-1, beating the Raiders, Monday Night Football. Everybody would be going crazy. And then you have the trade deadline where you can even add to this football team. Guys, it's time to get excited. It's time. I hope you can sense the passion in my voice. It's more exciting to cover a football team like this where we can break down more intricacies like, hey, second half scoring, third down conversions, key play calls that go down on fourth down, the decisions made to kick field goals, intricacies as opposed to talent gaps. This is much more fun to talk about, whereas week in, week out, you're matching up talent-wise with the other members of the league, and it just bodes well. And I think to wrap it up before I dial the button here and play the interview with Josh Reynolds, this collection of talent with Khalif Raymond, Jerry Jacobs, Isaiah Bugs, Benito Jones, Charles Harris, a collection of hardworking, gritty players. Aiden Hutchinson, Penei Sewell, Taylor Decker, the offensive line, Jared Goff, he's gritty. David Montgomery and his gritty runs. This collection of talent is exactly what you would look for in a football team that has the opportunity for success. I know it. I know what that looks like when you got guys that have been told, you're a secondary guy. You're not a number one. You can't lead. You're an internet guy. You can't lead a website. You're an internet guy. You can't cover an NFL team. You're just a guy from the internet. Tell me that. See what happens. Okay. Tell me I can't do something. I'll show you what happens. Tell me I can't show up at Allen Park and cover a team from the internet. Okay. Show me. And I know that because that's what fuels a lot of people is the idea they get more satisfaction out of the motivating grind that they've been told that they can't do something. And then when they get that success, it just fuels you. The opportunities are there to face challenges. When you have a higher, it's no fun if I just would have got a job right away the first time out. That's no fun. I think the grind is special to grind 5 years, to do a show every week, to have doors slammed in your face, to get ignored, to get told your project is not what we're looking for. Those hurdles make it so much sweeter to do the job, to write and create content that people consume at this level. It's great. And I think when you hear the passion that Josh Reynolds exhibits, you can sense that that locker room is full of Josh Reynolds. And that is the key to unlocking what has been ailing the Lions. Hunger, talent, motivation, and the drive and the big wall challenge, knowing that people have told them that they can't accomplish something, has really put the Detroit Lions as a team that's hunting the NFL. This Detroit Lions roster is hunting the NFL, and it's good to see. This is my interview. I had an opportunity to chat mostly one-on-one. Another media member showed up really at the tail end, but it was mostly me asking Josh Reynolds the questions, and I wanted you to hear it. A lot of it's also transcribed in this article, but you can hear the passion of Detroit Lions wide receiver in the latest edition of our podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Really take in what his message and his excitement level for being part of this offense. And I thank everybody for subscribing. Anywhere that you listen to content, type in Detroit Sports Podcast, and the All Lions Podcast will be there for you. And you can visit anytime, si.com/NFL/Lions. Thank you for your time. I hope you come back and check in next week when we break down the results of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. Here's the interview with Detroit Lions wide receiver Josh Reynolds.
Man, that was fun.
Give me a little bit. What's the art of the toe tap there in that touchdown?
Oh, man, ain't no art. It's a practice, you know. I spent years individual drills. I mean, we, you know, it's just something as a receiver, you kind of just, your body gets conditioned to do that.
Yeah, I know as an athlete and a competitor, you want to be involved in this offense. Now you're getting the touches, getting red zone looks. How rewarding is that for you to get to be part of this offense and to be an integral part of this offense for all the work you put in?
No, it's been awesome for them to, you know, finally start giving me, you know, key routes, you know, the main, you know, first look route. So it's, you know, it's been nice, and you know, it just shows me that they got trust in me.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what Dan Campbell said too, is that Josh is a true pro, runs his routes, we know where he can be, and he's a dependable member of this offense. What does it mean to get the support of the coaching staff too? Well, and Ben too.
Yeah, that's everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, as an athlete, man, you know,
so it's always fun to go to the bar with her.
It's kind of one of the things that you grew up as an athlete always trying to just get validation from your coaches, teammates, and stuff like that. So to be able to hear and feel that people got your back, I mean, it's.
Yeah. Did you sometimes not feel that just going?
No, it's just, you know, a lot of my career has been that. You know, it's been, all right, you kind of the back burner guy, you know. And so now it's like, all right, you know, you're an integral part of this offense, and it's, you know, it's big, you know.
So mentally, did you just keep grinding when you're going through that, knowing that okay, you feel like you can produce, but it's not happening? How do you push forward? What do you
do? That's all you do, man. Yeah. You control what you can control, you know, and that's getting better every day and knowing these plays when they do call your number. There ain't nothing new, you know. You know you've been doing this at practice, you know, for years and stuff. And so, you know, now it's just translating it to the game.
And Dan said, and everyone's talking about this team maturing, you know, now not only having the opportunity to be favorites, but winning by a larger margin. Mm-hmm. What does that mean when you see a locker room like this that potentially has a chance to do some things, being mature?
Oh, yeah. We didn't figure out how to win, mm-hmm. you know. And now it's, you know, how much can we win by, mm-hmm. you know, and how many less critical errors can we make, you know, and that's, you know, that's when the blowouts start happening. You know,
what's with Jared then? What's been his key involvement in your ability now in this offense to shine?
Say again,
Jared. Your relationship with him, knowing that you've gone back to the time with LA, what has he also meant to your, you know, role in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with us just having that, you know, that rapport, man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always nice knowing, you know, he knows where I'm gonna be at. I know where he's gonna put the ball at.
Yeah.
And so it's you know, that's big for run after catch. You know, so you know, it's been kind of, for me, it's kind of building a little bit. So
yep,
it's been nice.
Yeah. Overall, what's your assessment of the offense so far through the first quarter of the season?
I think we're rolling.
Yeah.
You know, we still got a lot of stuff to clean up mm-hmm. that can ultimately, you know, affect us in the long run, but you know, we keep continuing to harp on those errors and you know, and things like that. You know, we're gonna be a hard offense to stop.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one of the things that has been talked about openly is the scoring in the second half coming out of halftime. Just what have you seen? Just I know last time you guys got to, you know, drive down, it took 6 minutes off after. Just what's it been like just coming out of the half a little bit offensively?
It's honestly hard to say.
Okay.
You know, I don't. Just. I guess it's just little pieces, you know.
Yeah.
Little pieces we're missing here, a block here,
yeah.
You know, a depth issue here on a route or something like that. And or yeah, I mean, it mixed up a little bit of everything. And, you know, that's the reason why we've been coming out of halftime a little slow. But it's nothing, you know, nothing defense been doing. It's, I mean, it's everything we've been doing.
Okay, and then one last thing is, what are your early thoughts on what Tampa Bay's defense is bringing to the table in their corners and secondary?
They're solid defense.
Mm-hmm.
We just got our first look at them today, so, you know, don't know crazy much about them. But, I mean, you know, I've been in the league a while, so, I'd seen guys like Dean and Davis over there and Winfield. But yeah, I mean, they're good players, man. You know, they're good players. They're vets as well. So, you know, it's all about technique and getting after them guys.
Just one question. You mentioned being a back burner guy much of your career. How does it feel to be on the front burner?
Like I'm supposed to be here. You know, it wasn't nothing new. I go from A&M, where I'm a front runner guy, now to back burner. So I mean, I know what it feels like to be the guy. You know, so. Just nice to be here again.
So where does it go from here then? You said some more routes, more
consistency. No, we just keep going. You know, try to stay healthy and really get after guys.